If you'll take out your Bibles, if you don't have a Bible with you, we have Bibles in the back. If you'll take your Bibles out and turn to the book of Judges, please. Judges chapter 6. We've been in a series on Gideon. And we're going to continue that series this morning. Judges chapter 6 is where we will spend our time. I showed you the map a couple of weeks ago as we began the series about Gideon. The land of Midian, you can see down to the right, down here to this area, if this will work. Let's see. There we go. You can't see it on there. All right, so the land of Midian down to the lower right. And basically, the Midianites are sweeping up toward the Sinai Peninsula, up toward the Dead Sea, and up toward Jerusalem. They're a marauding, huge band of Arabian marauders, basically, and nomadic folks who then took advantage of Israel. We read about for 7 years because Israel did not walk with God. And the dealing that the Lord brought to these people were 7 years of being overrun by the Midianites. Every spring when the crops in summer, the crops would begin to be harvested, they would come in and they would plunder the crops. They would steal the livestock. They would destroy and leave nothing left over for Israel. For 7 years running because of the judgment of God in their land. And so what we find is when we come to Gideon, we see a man who's, what is he doing? Remember, he's threshing his wheat, but where is he? He's in the wine press, this tiny little area, so he wouldn't be seen by the Midianites. The spirit of fear is throughout their land, and he's a guy who, there's no wind down below to separate the chaff from the wheat, so he's tossing this lump of stuff up, and it's coming down, tossing it up, he's getting it probably all over himself. It's hot, it's frustrating, he's full of shame because he knows he should be up at the threshing floor at the top of the hill where there's some wind, but he doesn't want to be seen because he's afraid of the Midianites. And then remember, what does the angel of the Lord say? He comes on the scene, he's watching him for a while, says he's sitting up there watching him, and he goes, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." How many think he felt like a mighty man of valor at that moment? How many of you know that the Lord has a lot better things to say about you than you probably think he does? I said, how many know God's got probably a lot better things to say about you than you think he does? Are you glad that your past doesn't dictate your future? Are you glad that your past doesn't dictate your future? Amen. Anybody in this room ever sin? Ken's hand went up first. So we'll call on you. Okay, Ken. What? No, no. No, every room, every hand should go up in the room. Ever sin? How many need the deliverance of Jesus in their life? How many are thankful for the blood of Jesus? Washing us clean and redemption and salvation and deliverance. Good news in Jesus Christ. Turn to each other and say, there's good news in Jesus. So now we are in Christ if you've surrendered your life to Him. If you haven't, then there'll be opportunity to do so today. Jesus loves you and wants you to give your life to Him. All right, so now that we're in Christ, we're redeemed, we're washed clean by His blood, we need to understand that we move from a position of victory. Instead of desperately trying to get to a place of victory in our life, we need to understand that the redemption, the salvation, the washing clean by the blood through Jesus Christ, His grace, His mercy, has picked us up, washed us off, and put us in a place of victory. Turn to each other and say, "Hi, you victorious one." But it's a choice to believe that. We make a choice to believe it. We're already there in Jesus, our position, our provision. We need to have vision for our provision. Oh, Pastor Kev, don't you know the problem is my mind? You know, I might have victory all day long, but I got problems in my mind. How many know all God's kids got attack in their mind? No, not a thumbtack. I mean, there's attack that comes to your mind. The devil likes to throw thoughts your way and maybe throws your past up on your visual and on your screen and maybe he wants you to know your self-talk is pretty awful sometimes. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. But listen to what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. And you'll see it shortly if I'll give it to Pat. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, and that's the first page there I'm going to do, and then we'll go to those. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16, please read it aloud with me. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Really boom out the last part. But we... I'm sorry. What's that word? What we have. The mind of Christ. Are you transformed? Have you been delivered? Are you saved this morning by the grace and the blood of Jesus? You have the mind of Christ. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. All right, so there's some work yet that he's doing, but that work is being done from a place of victory in the Lord. You have victory in Jesus, the old song says. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't choose the world. Understand what God's given you. Allow him to keep working with you and change your thinking. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Now, this is the Old Testament. Watch what God is longing for. And we've already read the New Testament verses that tell us what God has done. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your thoughts, my thoughts than your thoughts. And one more verse, Hebrews 10, verse 16, which is a quote of Jeremiah. This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. After what time? After the time of Christ, after the new provision, says the Lord. I will, what? Put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. So, has the Holy Spirit been busy writing His Word on your mind? Huh? You have the mind of Christ. Reach over gently and lay hands on your husbands. Look at them and say, you have the mind of Christ. Now lay hands upon your friend and your wife or whoever is sitting next to you and say, you have the mind of Christ. If you've been redeemed. The morning's message is called, What's on Your Mind? What's on your mind? We had two parts of Gideon so far. Number one, the first week, Gideon and Midian. And because of sin, again, Israel was hiding in caves, in dens, in the rocks. For 7 years running, the Midianites were coming up and swarming their land like locusts. Let's go to the next scripture. Judges 6, where you have your place turned to in the Bible. Judges 6, we're going to go back to verses 1 through 5. Verses 1 through 5. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years, He gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, so what? Oppressive. The Israelites prepared shelters for themselves and mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted the crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded their country. They camped on the land. They ruined the crops for all the way to Gaza. Names you still hear in the news today, all the way to Gaza, and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They come up with their livestock, I'm reading from the NIV there this morning, they come up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to what? What's that last word? To ravage it. They destroyed everything in sight. Took their food, killed their livestock, left nothing for Israel. The NIV says they came to ravage it. King James says they came to destroy the land. The message, the NAS, the New American Standard says they came to devastate the land. The Hebrew word is shakath. Can you say it with me? Shakath. And it literally means to decay and to ruin the land. All right. So there's the problem with Midian. Gideon and Midian. Second time we spoke about Gideon, we talked about living large. God gives us images and beliefs according to His Word, and He gives us the right mind, and He puts right thoughts in us. And as a man thinks in his heart, the Bible says, so is he. Read that with me. Proverbs 23, verse 7. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. So, what's on your mind? What's in your mind and your heart? The word for thinks in the Hebrew here is sha'ar. Sha'ar. Now listen, this is really powerful. It means to split or open, and I'd like you to read the next phrase with me. To act as a gatekeeper. to act as a gatekeeper. Now, Ephesians 6, verse 11 tells us we need to put on the whole armor of God. Keith, you're in the military. Is it important to have appropriate armor and appropriate armaments and victorious things you can wage victory and battle with? Other people in the military, do you ever have to go out to war without any weapons? That'd be dumb, wouldn't it? All right, weapons are important. Weapon systems are important. God's given us effective spiritual weaponry. Put on the whole armor of God. As a gatekeeper, this is crucial. As a gatekeeper, understand, you make choice whether or not you allow certain thoughts in. Your choice. Now, the enemy can throw his barbs all day long, but the Bible says he's given you the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. God, the Holy Spirit, and you are at the gate as a gatekeeper. And when the wrong thoughts come, what do you need to do? You need to stand just like a gatekeeper and say, wait a minute, you're an enemy, you don't get to come in here. Say it with me. You don't get to come in here. Say it with me. I am a gatekeeper. Wrong thoughts, wicked thoughts, lying thoughts. Instead, when truth comes to the gate and wants in, you get to say, hey, come on in. When thoughts like, I am redeemed, I'm washed by the blood, I am a new creature in Christ, I have the mind of Christ, I am waging warfare from a place of victory, not desperately trying to get to a place of victory. I've got victory in Jesus. Those thoughts, allow them to come right on in. All right, gatekeepers, open up, let those thoughts in. But the thoughts that come to your gate that say, hey, you're nothing. You're a creep. You're a jerk. Your past was awful. You can do nothing for God today because of what is in your past. Do those thoughts get in? Too often, they do. So we've got to be vigilant at the gate as a gatekeeper. Truth in, lies out. Come on, say it with me. Truth in, lies out. Devil out, God in. How about when wicked thoughts come in about your spouse or your friend or your brother and sister in Christ? How about when some awful thoughts come in about, aren't they terrible? You know, you smile at each other in church and then behind their back say, did you see what they did? Did you hear what they did? Now, I'm not after anybody this morning. I'm just saying, have you ever had those kind of thoughts? Come on, somebody be honest. Ever had those kind of thoughts? Can you believe what that pastor preached about this morning? I'm just telling you, just rebuke those thoughts, keep them out. No, but listen, part of the biggest problem in the body of Christ today is division and disharmony and churches being wrecked because people are allowing wrong thoughts in instead of standing as a gatekeeper and saying, that thought can't come in here. I'm standing with my family in Christ. I didn't hear real loud, amen. I like that. That's good. The devil wants to divide churches, divide families, divide people, divide congregations, divide friends, divide churches. Let's rehearse what's on your mind. What's in your mind? Look what the Bible says. Philippians 4, verse 8. If there's anything, would you please read this with me? If there's anything true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtue, anything worthy of praise, thank God. He gives us a direct instruction. Think on that stuff. That word think in the New Testament is logizomai in the Greek. Logizomai. Now watch this. That means take an inventory. Make an estimate. Okay? So what do you do when you take an inventory? Hey, what's on the shelves here? What's the inventory in my heart and in my mind? It's like going to your refrigerator. How many have ever gone to your refrigerator and go, oh, that's out of date. Lo, it stinketh. Get rid of that. That's out of date. Pastor Sherry, I've called her. Pastor Carl, Pastor Sherry, you know, they've been my friends for 40-some-odd years. They could say that. It's been odd years, Kevin. But over 40 years. I call up and say, you know, you think this thing's still good? And they'll say, why don't you smell it? Okay. But then she always finishes, if it's close, she'll say, Kevin, my attitude is this. I don't have time to get sick. Church, we don't have time to get sick. We don't have time to allow wicked, dividing thoughts that tear us apart. We don't have time to get sick. But that's what the devil of our souls, the enemy, wants us to do. So you take an inventory. That's rotten. Throw that rotten thought out. Oh, well, praise God. Here's one still good on my shelf. In my inventory, that date is still good. I'm locked and I'm ready to rock. My powder is dry on that spiritual weapon. I know I'm mixing metaphors. I'm just having fun. Hope you are too. But like a spiritual army, God has given us excellent spiritual weaponry. Think on these things. Church, let's not make a mistake. It is a battle for our souls out there. Come on. There's a battle for your soul going on. There's competition for your time, your energy, your money. We were talking about this morning. You can buy 50 different magazines to totally distract your time, and you get lost in reading the TV guide and everything else, and you just don't happen to have time to read the Bible. Or maybe there's DVDs, or there's movies, or there's computers, or the generation of today doesn't know the Bible stories, but they know every sort of kind of game you can get on your computer that there is, or your iPod, your iTouch, or your iSpank, or whatever else it is. There's all sorts of distractions. But let truth in. Now let's rehearse. If someone comes to you with a complaint against a brother or sister in Christ, against your pastors or your elders, or just your friends in the family of God, somebody comes to you with a complaint, do you know what that's called? Sin. Oh, I just want to, I'll give them a shoulder to cry on. So they dump all over your shoulder. You got wet stuff over here. They feel free. You feel heavy and burdened, but nobody got things healed right. Offenses happen in the body of Christ. But if you allow yourself to be a sounding board and you're not the person with whom there's offense, you're in sin and the talebearer is a sinner. And the Bible calls it sin. Come on, say it with me. Say it strong. It's sin. What do you do then, Pastor Kev? How do you get anything better? How do you feel better? You go to the party you got the problem with. Come on, it got quiet. You go to the person you got the problem with. Somebody say, amen, Pastor Ted, preach it. If you've got a problem with me, what's it going to do you any good to go to somebody who's come to church every now and then and dump it all? What good's it going to do? Put your fingers in your ears and say, I'm sorry, that's sin. I'm not going to listen. You need to go to the person with whom you have the problem. Someone say, amen.
Amen.
Do you want to keep from being sick? Do you want to stay healthy? I'm telling you how to stay healthy, church. And most of the time in the body of Christ, people don't stand on truth. They go talking, 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 and wonder why there are problems in the family of God. Isn't this fun this morning? What's on your mind? What's in your mind? Church, if we do it the Bible's way, we will be blessed. It doesn't mean we don't have problems. We just take care of them right. Or else, you'll end up sick. You end up with attitudes, like after a while it begins to fester. Oh, guess what? When you go to the person, you dump it all out on somebody who's not involved. Not only is it not sin, you know what happens? They maintain this slow burn of anger. And you might get it right with the person you had the offense. So you're all better. And they're over here still burdened. So you come over and you want to give them a good report. Hey, did you see what Mary did? And you who has the slow burn looks at them and go, I didn't want to talk about Mary. They hurt you. Oh, no, I'm cool with Mary. What's wrong with you? Do you see how it works? So let's keep good relationships with Jesus and with one another. And if there's a problem, let's go to each other. Otherwise, sickness goes along this road. And I'll be quick about this and we'll get on. Pretty soon you develop attitudes like, gosh, you know, I don't know what's wrong with that church. Pastor's just not feeding me anymore. The messages just don't mean anything to me. I'm just not getting fed. How many of you understand that feeding is as much a spiritual preparation of the hearer's heart as it is on the speaker's part? If I'm right with God, and you're right with God by the blood of Jesus, we're going to have a fantastic time with the Lord, even if we sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so, and we read one verse, Jesus wept. We're going to go home blessed because of a right heart before the Lord. Okay, make sense? So feeding is as much an attitude of the hearer as of the feeder. And we all need His help getting us there. All right, what's your vision? What's your vision? What's in your mind? What's in your heart? What's your vision? How many know you build according to vision? Any builders in here? Who all have built buildings? Okay, one, two, about 20 of you. Okay, how many know you, according to what's right, you got to build it according to code? How many know that you want to build straight walls and you want to build strong? How many know if you're going to build a big building, it's good to have building plans? And architects? No, it's not always necessary, but it's good to have building plans, okay? It's good to give instruction and be able to build. Because if you build sloppy, it won't stand. It won't protect you. In bad weather, it won't endure. What's your vision for walking with Jesus, for being His church? Watch this. A whole bunch of translations now. King James, Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Watch this, out of a whole bunch of translations. The NIV, also the World English Bible, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. New Living, where people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. All right, that's interesting. English Standard, where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. New American Standard, where there's no vision, the people are unrestrained. How about the God's Word? Without prophetic vision, people run wild. The American Standard Version, also Darby Translation, English Revised Version, where there's no vision, the people cast off restraint. The Bible in Basic English, where there's no vision, the people are uncontrolled. And it finishes, he who keeps the law will be happy, controlled by the Spirit and by the Word of God. The Dewey Reams Bible, I had fun with that name, the Dewey Reams Bible, because you've all heard of the attorney's office, Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. The Dewey Reams Bible, the Dewey Reams Bible. When prophecy shall fail, the people shall be scattered abroad. One more, watch this. Young's literal translation. Without a vision is a people made naked. What's your vision? We've talked before. Now hang in here with me, okay? We've talked before. Pat me over on this. We've talked before about why do you come to church? Let's take him down one word at a time, please. Why do you come to church? Okay, information. It's good to have some helpful information, isn't it? Oh, you're filling me with confidence. I try to give you good information. Okay, information's important. Bible information. What is it? What does the Bible teach? What does the Bible say? And we've got a country that and Christians everywhere that really don't read the Word much, and that's not healthy. If we want to be healthy, we need the Bible's information. But we also hope at the same time that we get some inspiration. I'm inspired to be what Jesus wants me to be. I want to walk with Him. I want to hear from Him. I'm inspired to get closer to the Lord. I'm inspired. And so when I come in, the Bible says you go in one way and out another way. When I come in, I might come in one way, but I want to go out built up in the Lord, encouraged. I want to be what God wants me to be. I'm inspired. Amen. How many know that's not enough? How many know that we who like to fellowship, now I'll throw myself in here, okay, so I'm not trying to offend anybody. But how many know, lots of times we can park with information, inspiration, and lunch. What'd you get at church today? Information, inspiration, and we had a good meal afterwards. How many know that's not enough? That's not enough. We can walk around being the most informed and inspired people, but until something far deeper happens in our lives to conform us to the image of Jesus, it's not enough. So when we come to church, we also need impartation. We've encouraged you in the baptism of the Spirit, the gift of speaking in tongues, the gifts of the Spirit. We hear prophetically. Why do we want to give room for the Holy Spirit? We want the Holy Spirit to be imparted to our lives. We want His gifts to be imparted to our lives. We want His working to be imparted to our lives. So we are different from this moment on. I don't want to be the same. I want to be more like Jesus than I've ever been before. Don't you? And if we'll allow God room in our lives to give us information, inspiration, and impartation, what will happen is what the goal of God is as we come together. And that's transformation. To be transformed. To be more like Jesus. Don't settle for just inspiration. Don't settle for just information. Ask God, when we come together, ask God to transform us by His Spirit, to impart His Spirit to our lives so that we are more like Him. I don't want to camp at information, inspiration, and lunch. How about you? All right, so what's your vision? Is your vision to be conformed to the image of His Son? Thank you, Pat. You're doing terrific. To bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven? We are going somewhere, church. As the body of Christ, there's a Bible goal and direction for us. There's a purpose and a destiny in God. How about kingdom living? Taking dominion. There's an old song that says, every place on which your feet shall trod, I have given unto you. Of course, it's Scripture. How about I'm not done until every place on which I trod is taken for the dominion of Jesus in my home, in my church, in my neighborhood, at my post office, at my grocery store, on my job, with my family. It's not done until the presence of God and the kingdom of God is established on earth as it is in heaven. He taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Wait a minute, Kevin. I just want to go to church for a few years and then when I die, go to heaven. Lift your vision higher. Lift your vision higher. God's got so much more for you and me than just going to heaven someday. Hey, by the way, sometimes you seniors, those of you who are seniors, we won't identify any. Those of you who are seniors, think, come on, just let me alone. Don't bug me. I just want to come to church and then be on my way out. Abraham was promised that he would have children as the stars of the sky. Do you know he was 135 years old when his wife Sarah died? He took a third wife at that time and he had six more kids and didn't die till he was 175. And a lot more nations looked to him as father because he just kept walking with God. How about your own generations? How about your kids and your grandkids? How about your great-grandkids? Gatekeepers. Vision. Church, I don't want to stop until I've been able to do, I know, everything God's called me to do. I see an Olympic Peninsula with revival. I see people washed by the blood of Jesus with hands raised and tears, hot tears of repentance streaming down faces as people come to repentance. And I see churches throughout Washington planted and throughout our nation and our world. And I don't want to quit until I've been able to see, oh God, do what you say you're going to do. Fill this earth with your glory as the waters cover the sea. Oh God, pour out revival. We're not done yet, church. Transform us, Lord. Do you know? You know, Pastor Kev, I've got a big vision. I've got a big vision. But do you know, as a small church, do you know you are already, Grace Christian Center already is a regional church? We have people here from Port Ludlow, Port Angeles, and Squim. Thanks for coming. From, you know, who come down, and people from Port Townsend, Port Hadlock, and Port Chemicum. From Port Ludlow? From Paulsville? Cape George. And do you know, in Cape George, that's right. And do you know we have a couple in Everett that consider this their home church? It's just hard to get over here all the time. Listen, what am I saying? I'm saying, okay, let's believe for something bigger. Live larger. There's something more. We're not done. How many believe you're done in your life? I'm glad I didn't see any show of hands this morning. We would gather around and pray for you for resurrection. Gatekeepers. Gatekeepers. Thoughts, attitude, relationships, and lifted vision and big vision and seeing God move by His Holy Spirit. We have people coming from Quilcene, right? Right? There you go, Quilcene. I knew there was one I forgot. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Abraham. Now watch what the Scripture says. I think it's up there, Hebrews 11, verse 10, and if not, there we go. Abraham saw a city, please read it with me, whose builder and maker was God. Live according to vision. Jesus has given us weapons for victory. What do those look like? Looks like coming to church. Don't skip out on coming to church. Come to church. Get built up in the Lord and read the Bible and stay in prayer and worship and speaking in tongues and repentance and fellowship and the gifts of the Spirit. These are the kinds of things that keep you honed and toned and your victory weapons ready. Watch this. When spiritual attack comes, when you're barraged by temptation and wrong thoughts, and it will happen, pull out of your inventory the spiritual weapons. When lies come, truth defeats the devil. Watch this. James 4, verse 7. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. We quote that scripture all the time. Let me share with you what that means. Resist is aphistome. And it means to stand against or oppose. Stand against the devil. Oppose him. When sin wants to come to your heart and door, oppose him. He will flee from you. Watch this. Not only does it mean run away, shun, and vanish, the way you're going to remember flee, the Greek word for flee, the devil will flee from you, is phugo. Say it with me. Phugo. So when the devil comes to your door, look at him and say, phugo. Phugo. He will flee from you. When you claim the blood of Jesus, when you see yourself as having the mind of Christ, when you're understanding you're part of the family of God. He's a God of reconciliation, a God who wants us to be ambassadors for Him and minister to a dark and dying world all around us. People with no hope, no life, no healing, no deliverance, who desperately need Jesus Christ. Church, you've got a big job. Turn to each other and say, you got a big job. Ministers of Reconciliation, Ambassadors, Presbyro means seniors. Reconciliation, Katalagay, means to exchange, restoration. You're called like Gideon to bring restoration. Let's bring this to a close. Final section, like Gideon and Midian. One more time, let's tie this all in. Pastor Kevin, this is a message on Gideon. Why have you taken us this way? I will be honest with you to tell you I was going in a different direction. And last night, the Holy Spirit constrained me. And when I kept going down the road we're talking this morning, I said, Lord, I know of no problem, no division, no disharmony. And He said, this is where I want you to go. So therefore then, church, let it be a reminder to keep yourselves pure from the garbage and from the attack. But let's tie it all together. Gideon was alive in a day of 7 years of overcome by Midian. They were overrun. They had no home. They lived in caves and rocks and dens. They had no food. Their crops and livestock were stolen. They had no protection. They had to hide in fear. They had no provision. They were poor. They were miserable. They were under attack. No victory. Only fear. By whom? By Midian. Why? Because they didn't listen to God. They lived casually in sin. Pastor Carl has an old poster. He used to do posters all the time. And it's an old poster. It says, casual. Let's see. Casual Christians become Christian casualties. Would you write that down, please, if you're taking notes? Casual Christians become Christian casualties. I'll say it again for you. Casual Christians become Christian casualties. I set it up there, casual Christians make Christian casualties. They didn't walk with the Lord in a sold-out relationship. I'm going to tie this all together. Guys, this is incredible. They chose other gods. They turned aside to do what was right in their own eyes. They were destroyed by Midian. Do you know what the word Midian means? Strife. They were destroyed and overrun by the devil and by the enemies. Because of strife that they chose to allow into their hearts, into their minds, into their families, and into their nation. Strife. Do you think it's a big deal? It's powerful. Moses, there was a good relationship with Midian. Moses fled to Midian. Moses married the daughter-in-law of the priest of Midian. A Midian guide was their guide in the wilderness for a while. And then Midian joined in with the Moabites in hiring Balaam to curse Israel. Strife. Do you know who they were? They were the offspring of Abraham and Keturah, his third wife, that he married after Sarah had died. They were family, divided in vision, division. Divided in vision, which is division. But our restoring God has called Gideon to be more than what he knows of himself and to live larger. Our restoring, healing, magnificent, fantastic God says, Gideon, I'm going to use you to deliver this nation from strife. Church, I want you to say with me, God wants to use me to bring healing to lives, to families, to people who need Jesus. God wants to use me. I'm a candidate, Lord. Use me. Just like Gideon. Gideon, caught in his little wine press and afraid of the enemy and living small because his mind is small and not understanding the purposes of God and he's just trying to get by. Just let me live another day. And God's saying, I've got so much more for you than to just live one more day. There are people that need Jesus. There are people that need your love. People that need what you've got. Your neighbors need your good news. They need your cheery countenance at the grocery store. Sure, by the grace of God, they need your smile if you're the fifth one in line. Or second. What's on your mind? What can you do? What can you do? You go, I'm just a small in my own eyes. Fantastic prophecy. Good obedience to the gifts of the Spirit this morning. But fantastic. Small in my own eyes, the Lord talked about. Anybody in this room ever feel like a small little bird instead of an eagle? Come on. The Lord's called us to be an eagle, to soar, to, you know, take me higher, precious Jesus. How many feel at times? Let me see the show one more time. I feel like a small little birdie at times. How many know that even small little birdies can be helped by great big eagles? The Holy Spirit says, come on. Climb on board. It's time to soar again. It's time to soar again. It's time to know you've got the mind of Christ. It's time to know you're washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. It's time to know that your past doesn't dictate your future. It's time to not live this casually. It's time to know we got a big God with a big vision and a big plan. How many want to be a part of it?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus, use me. What's on my mind is what's on your mind. Let's stand. He said to Gideon, Judges 6, verse 12, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." God's words on your mind, in your heart. And with that vision, you can change the world. Father, we thank you for this great day. Thank you that you are alive in us. Thank you that we have the mind of Christ and that we have victory in our lives as we realize everything that you've provided for us. Oh Lord, help us to stand up, to do our part, to be what you want us to be. We thank you for it. And all the people said, what'd you learn at church this morning? I learned about living for Jesus. I learned there's a big purpose. I learned there's a big God with a big vision. And I learned that He's not done with me yet. There's an Olympic Peninsula to reach for Jesus. There's this region to reach for Jesus. How many want to be a part? All right, if you want to be a part, I'm going to ask you to do something for impartation. I'm going to ask you to make your way forward. And we're going to pray this morning in a rededication of ourselves to fulfilling the plan of God. If that's you, come on forward. How many know that God's got something good for you?
Yes.
How many understand, you know, your best days, doesn't matter if they're long or short. I'm looking at something, you're like, my best days, come on. Are ahead. Are ahead. What's God got for you? Maybe it's to simply be a strength and a fantastic strength to the people right here in this room, to the people that you live by. But God wants to move in a fresh way by His Holy Spirit, and we want to be a part of that revival. Amen?
Amen.
So I want you to reach out, take each other's hands. We're going to pray a prayer of dedication as a church, as a congregation. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray this day that you will move in us, to us, and through us. Whether it's a big calling or small, we know, O God, that you've called us all. And we respond to you. We thank you, Lord, for the cleansing, precious, and powerful blood of Jesus. O God, we won't rest until you do. We won't quit until you're done. And we know that we need to walk with you every single day. Fulfill your will. And use me, Lord. Say it with me. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I dedicate myself again.
Use me, I pray.
Thank you for the cleansing blood. That's washed me clean from my past. And given me a great new future. In the name of Jesus. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. We believe you and thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you need healing in your body, stay up. We'll pray for you. If you need something that's on your heart to pray about, we'll be honored to pray with you. But go forth with victory and rejoicing today. And know that God's hands are upon you. All right? Anything else? Did you have anything else, PK? Before you go?
You know, one of the things about prophecy is you never know ahead of time what it's got to do with. And since he said last week he was going back to Gideon or going to Judges, I figured. And then when I got the word fear not,
yeah.
And if you remember, it said, say not, I'm the least in a small church.
Yeah,
and that's then
right.
That's essentially exactly what you preached on.
Exactly right.
I mean,
exactly
it's just. Right. I sat there amazed.
Total confirmation.
And why it's so key to be obedient when God gives you a word. Gives you something to say. You need to say it because God knows. It had nothing to do with worship. A lot of times God gives me words, keys me from worship, but this had nothing to do with worship. But it turned out like Jay's word was last week on, or 2 weeks, when it was on self-taught.
Yeah, self-taught 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you never know what God intends. And the Word was simply to prepare our hearts for the Word.
You bet. You bet. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a fantastic week of the Lord.
Thank you.